League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to the Green 19 Packers podcast brought to you by PackersNews.com and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm Jim Ozarski, along with my colleague Tom Silverstein, here at the 2020 Indianapolis Convention Center NFL Scouting Combine. And it's been a little while, Tom, since you and I have seen each other, let alone talk to all of our listeners out there.
Yeah, we needed a little break after that extended season. Excuse me. Yeah, got to get my voice right for this thing. Really, there wasn't that much time between the NFC Championship game and the wrap-up, and here we are at the Combine already, and, you know, in a couple weeks, free agency will be hitting. So no rest for the weary.
No, that is the one part of playing late into a year. It kind of really condenses this period of time for Brian Gutekunst and his staff, especially, you know, as they try to put together a draft board. And look, as we found out a year ago, Tom, he actually likes free agency.
Yeah.
So this week plays a role in that as well.
He's a willing participant.
Right.
He's got the money.
So let's start with the beginning of the week here to kind of catch people up on. So Brian Gutekunst met with beat writers before coming to Indianapolis, choosing to do that over getting together here due to the changes in schedule. And then Matt LaFleur we spoke to on Tuesday down here in Indianapolis.
Right.
Sort of his more formal at the podium and then kind of off to the side with us. So, you know, let's start there a little bit, Tom. What were maybe some interesting nuggets or things you pulled away from the general manager and the head coach speaking early in the week?
Well, you know, when it comes to the draft, you don't get a lot of information on anything. And you don't really know what their interests are at this point. But a lot of it is roster management at this point. And they have some free agents they need to take care of. They got Mason Crosby under contract for 3 years. So that took one of their free agents off the board. And while they're here, Gutekunst, Russ Ball, they're talking to agents trying to figure out who they can re-sign, who they might want to sign in free agency. And I just got a sense from Gutekunst that there's not going to be any big splash free agents like last year. Like, they're going to be piecing parts into what they think is a pretty good roster and filling voids that come about via free agency. And so that was what I kind of took away, was that don't expect the same kind of flash that there was last year.
Yeah, and that's even if they, you know, elect to move on from Jimmy Graham altogether, Lane Taylor altogether, or some salary reductions to free up some space. I think you're right, Tom. It's more to kind of piecemeal some things and add multiple players that could help fill a role, as opposed to, you know, your kind of linchpin starters as they did last offseason. I think that even includes wide receiver. I mean Brian Gutekunst wouldn't be surprised if he drafts a couple, but he also, my biggest takeaway from that, Tom, was just the idea that they want to upgrade the receiver position, but also they were really trying to manage an expectation of, well, if we do pick a receiver high or early or whatever, he may not be a star in 2020.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So there aren't many who come in and dominate, you know, and but you know what they need, and he did, yeah, he gave a cautionary warning there that a guy might not come in and be a number two right away, but it's still, this is such a talented, we'll get into that later, but it's such a talented wide receiver class that I can't believe he doesn't have some expectation of someone coming in and at least complimenting Davante Adams.
Right. And so, you know, as we look at it, as we focus right now, the early part of this podcast, Tom, on the current roster, mm-hmm. or the guys we know, as you said, Mason Crosby back in the fold, figure one of the 90 roster spots in camp will not be on an additional kicker
yeah.
this year, yeah. You know, unless there's an injury maybe. But let's start with, maybe you disagree with me. I have been saying this with our colleague Olivia Reiner on the Facebook Lives, that I think the decision on Brian Bulaga, either direction, sets the board for Brian Gutekunst, in that if they're moving on, that puts a tackle in play in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
If they're moving on, maybe it's a bridge year in a way with, I mean, if they're moving on from him, they're not going to sign Jack Conklin, right?
Right.
You know, the other sort of big name tackle. But maybe there's a placeholder, you know, if they don't think they're, you know what I mean?
So, well, they have Valdir as a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, he played pretty well in the one game, and he held up physically. But he could be a placeholder till they draft someone.
Right.
And it would put a little bit more pressure if they don't sign Bulaga to get someone in the draft. But it is a really good year for tackles. And so I could see him slow playing Bulaga or offering really modest number. And then seeing, you know, if he gets something better somewhere else, then you know, then they have to make a decision whether to match or whether right. he would give them the opportunity to match. So I really look at it as two positions that are critical. I think right tackle is critical, and I think inside linebacker is critical. Other than that, I don't think they have critical, you know, positions they have to address. A wide receiver, you could say, is critical, but it's, they have Davante Adams, okay?
Right.
So that's not like they don't have anybody. They need to address right tackle for the future. And they need inside linebackers, because I don't know if Blake Martinez is going to be back.
Right, and it's well, let's transition into that. And I don't think it's just Blake Martinez, Tom. I mean, Kyler Fackrell is an unrestricted free agent. So I'm going to lump those guys together. And what I mean by that is they only carried four outside linebackers on the 53 all year,
mm-hmm.
one of which was Rashawn Gary, who didn't play. And then so you got inside linebackers, and Blake Martinez is clearly the leader in a lot of ways in that room. I mean, Ty Summers. I mean, this time last year they were hyping up James Crawford
yeah.
as a potential like running mate, and he never
yeah,
made it.
He
never made
make
it to the regular
roster.
Season.
Oh,
so
no.
So where, how do you, I mean, right now you could lose two of your five linebackers who actually played.
Yeah, yeah, and that happens. But,
right.
you know, Kyler Fackrell's snaps will be picked up by Rashawn Gary and some rookie.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith played a lot of snaps.
Right.
And they will have to develop somebody else at outside linebacker, but I don't think that's an emergency. I do think that they do have to get somebody. I think inside linebacker, even if they re-sign Blake Martinez, they've got to get somebody to compliment him. They've got to get an athletic person. And I don't see how you can count on Oren Burks to be that guy. Maybe he becomes a Kyler Fackrell and suddenly.
Right.
But you can't count on that. I think right now you count on him being a lifetime special teams player.
Right, right. It's that's interesting. So the you know, as our listeners are kind of digesting this a little bit, you know, Martinez, it's funny because I feel there's a love-hate relationship with him. Mm-hmm. But a guy like that, Tom, I mean, everyone overpays in free agency. That's what, like, if you're going to get a starter. I mean, you could argue the Packers did for the production they got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Billy Turner made more money and Amos as well. I mean, is there a chance that there's, you know, Goody was like, well, the Martinez thing's in flux. Like, he didn't sort of dismiss it out of hand like a year ago this time where it seemed pretty clear Randall Cobb and, you know, Clay Matthews were moving on. Did you get a sense at all that there's an interest in at least bringing him back if it somehow fits financially?
I think there's some mechanics to free agency that are in play here, and that is that they're talking about him, you know, Gutekunst said it after the year, you know, almost said it like it was a done, you know, done deal that Martinez would be gone. I think they're saying, playing it that way, because they don't want to pay what he wants, and they believe that he won't get what he thinks he will. And so I think they're talking like he's gone, but I do think they have an interest in bringing him back, just at their price, and their price is probably more around $7 million per year, and his price is $10 million or more.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they're, you know, making it clear that they're not going to pay $10 million. So if he wants $10 million and can get it, then he should go get it.
Right.
So that's what I kind of read into it. I do think they like him as a player, and I still think he is a capable player. I just think you got to compliment him. He's not a complete three-down player. He needs some help.
Yeah, it's you know what also complicates things, Tom, at least to me, is unlike a year ago this time, there's a little more pressure on the Kenny Clark extension. You know, Gutekunst was like, oh, we want to extend Kenny Clark. That didn't happen. David Bakhtiari is rolling into the final year of his deal. And then I was a little surprised by this, but we heard, you know, I got a sense this week that there's a mutual interest in getting Aaron Jones extended. And now that's probably the least expensive of all these guys to some degree. But that's out there. And so that kind of so again, when you're talking about money and you might see more of an investment or a reinvestment in some current players or extending some deals as opposed to paying top of market for a Blake Martinez if there is one.
Yeah.
Or going out and signing a lot of people, it is the kid out of Los Angeles, Ogletree.
Oh.
You know, it's you know, I don't know if they're not going to pay Blake Martinez $10 million, I don't think they're going to go out and pay another linebacker $10 million.
No. I think regarding those re-signings, they're going to take their time because I think they want to see how the collective bargaining agreement rounds out and what the television contracts look like. Now, they'll have to do Kenny Clark. They're going to want to do Kenny Clark. They may have a verbal agreement with the agent that let's see how the CBA comes out, how the TV contracts come out. We'll have a better idea what the cap's going to be in 2021, and then we can structure the contract around that. Probably the same with Bakhtiari. You know, let's wait and see, because there's going to be, with the 17th game added, there's going to be some additional revenue. And I think they're going to project the caps to go up. So I think those things might take a little bit of time. Aaron Jones as well. If they're going to do that, I think that would take some time too. So I think their focus will be taking care of their own, re-signing their own, and then filling voids wherever they can.
Yeah, it's we're not going to, don't worry, we're not going to bog you down with the nitty gritty of CBA details as we record this and post it. Maybe, who knows, they decide to send a vote out. But the Packers specifically made some waves this week. Aaron Rodgers was hanging out with Tom, yeah, talking about some CBA details downtown Indianapolis at Steak and Shake. No, but the quarterback was in town and part of the player rep contingent that pretty contentiously voted 17-14, one player abstaining, to send the CBA to the membership. Rodgers put out a statement on Twitter. Many of his teammates sort of echoed those things. What was just your, regardless of all the nitty-gritty there, just what was your impression of Rodgers' involvement? He last did this in 2010, but being more vocal, you're seeing some teammates kind of pop up and rally. And
a couple.
Course,
a couple. Yeah, just a couple. It's a matter of class. It's a class system. And the upper class sees the big picture the way it probably is, but has the comfort of, if there were a work stoppage, being able to feed their family and all the rest. Yeah. You know, I mean, all of them can feed their families, but the upper class can withstand a work stoppage. The middle and lower class guys don't want a work stoppage. And really the only way you gain significant money in a negotiation is to threaten a work stoppage and get close to that. So I don't think the NFLPA has a stomach for that. Rodgers may, I think his objection is something that they can handle and really may still be addressed, which is he wants more time off for players. I think really if they wanted, they could push this by, you know, the addition of the 17th game is going to add a tremendous amount of revenue. And I think personally, you know, they probably could have gone, in my opinion, gone for more than what they're going to get in the CBA. But they also have a okay deal on the table. And I think the rank and file is going to take it. And so I think we'll have a CBA, despite the objections of Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, J.J. Watt, Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. The rank and file outnumber the 1%.
Right.
So
yeah. So it was interesting. It was just the Packers sort of making waves in a different sort of way.
Yeah, Rodgers and Bakhtiari speaking out pretty much against it. But you don't see the rank and file guys saying anything publicly.
Right.
So
right.
That's where, you know, their votes are, the votes are secret. So I think when it comes down to it, we'll see it passed.
Yeah, and that in terms of you guys listening, it won't really affect what you see for the most part, other than more football down the line. I don't think the 17 games is in 2020.
I think we're a year away from that.
Which I think loops in international games finally for the Packers, and you know, maybe a change in you know, how they run training camp to a degree, and
definitely.
But those things are sort of on the table as this goes forward.
Mm-hmm.
So here today in this week in Indianapolis, obviously there are a bunch of prospects here. A little different vibe last year, Tom. So last year was my first draft covering the Packers in a while. Mm-hmm. And I walked in when they had the number 12 pick.
Yeah.
And a later pick. And there was a little bit of buzz over what they could do. This year at 30, I don't get a sense of first of all, it's kind of hard to predict because so much can happen in front of them. So I think right now someone might be screaming, as they were earlier, draft a receiver number 30. So let's start there. You wrote about it over at jsonline.com this week. What is your feel for that idea of expending a first round pick when maybe they don't have to?
Well, it was long a philosophy of Ron Wolf never to take a wide receiver in the first round. I think this is a peculiar class, and that it's just stocked with playmakers and guys with great physical attributes, and it's deep. And you can get a guy who can contribute right away in the second, third, maybe even the fourth rounds. you know, some people have said that it's there's starting potential in the second, third, fourth round. So I think there's a class of wide receivers, maybe six deep, seven deep, that are just a slightly above the others, probably more athletically because of their speed. But then there's a bunch of guys after that. And so I think it really just depends, like you said, what happens in front. That's what 30 is all about. It's about seeing what's in front of you, seeing what goes down in front of you, and having a really strong board so that when it comes to 30, you have a guy who's sitting there that you feel stands out above the rest. And, you know, there's some guys that they're just not going to get. Jerry Jeudy from Alabama, probably Henry Ruggs from Alabama, really fast guys. T. Higgins from Clemson is a, you know, big doubt he'll be there. LaVisca Chenault from Colorado, big, huge guy with that can run 4.4. He's probably not going to be there. So they're going to be looking at some other prospects and how it falls there. I just, if they don't get one in the first, I don't think people need to jump off roofs because they can get one in the second and they can get one in the third as well. And I do expect them to add somebody in free agency. I really do. I think there will be some sort of veteran. You know, an Emmanuel Sanders, for instance. I don't know what he's going to get, what his market's going to be, but someone like that could come in at a low rate if, let's just say, he doesn't get what he is expecting.
Right.
That's the type of guy that could wind up there. So
yeah, it's you go back to recent history. Now, what's interesting, Tom, is do you think that, now that said, that the Packers have sort of drafted their way into a hole here where even if it goes against history or their theory, and what I mean by that is they have not spent a second-round pick on a receiver since Devontae Adams. Now, obviously, before that, they had a good stretch with Cobb and Jennings and Jordy Nelson.
They were great in the second round.
Yeah. You know, we mentioned tackle earlier in the podcast. I mean, they traded up to get Jason Spriggs. We know how that turned out, but they haven't addressed that premier position at all otherwise in the draft since Derek Sherrod way back when. Now, granted, you could argue they didn't need to with Bulaga and sort of finding David Bakhtiari, but they haven't really drafted high that skill, those premier guys, and I just wonder, can you afford to wait on that? Can you really sit there at 30 and you know, I'll bring in the quarterback situation? Like, is it?
Well, if I could get an offensive tackle who could come in and start at number 30, I would go for it. If I could get a pass rusher, even though I've got those other guys, and I could add a fourth pass rusher, I would do it. If I could add a defensive tackle that I really like, you know, those are the guys that don't grow on trees. They're harder to get. Wide receivers are easier to get. And Gutekunst had some trouble getting them because, one, the drafts weren't that great, and he had other priorities. He had to rebuild his defense. So he didn't spend on wide receivers. You know, he passed up a Terry McLaughlin, for instance, you know, and because he had other needs. So I think that you can wait. You can go get a guy in the second round. I don't think you I think if there's someone special there in the one of those top six guys drops down or seven guys, then, yeah, you do it. But if I could get a starting tackle who could be there for 10 years – you know, I don't know if I could pass that up.
Yeah, definitely. So I do want to mention, you know, one particular player of local interest, Quintez Cephas. Kind of, you know, again, he's local. Mm-hmm. Every Badger should play for the Packers, Tom, as you know.
Sure. They hardly do. Ron Wolfson never drafted him, and
thing.
Ted Thompson didn't
thing.
Draft
I
him.
I know.
Either.
But, and then, you know, now somebody's screaming, T.J. Watt, you know? But anyway, so Quintez Cephas, if people are curious, he ran a 4.73 40. Not a great showing. And
no, it's terrible. Yeah. It's the slowest. But I think he's going to come back and rerun at Pro Day in a week or two, a couple weeks. He's got to after that. But you look at, you've got his numbers up, and he's got a 38.5-inch vertical leap. That's pretty good. It's just, it looks like his foot speed is just not what you know, some of the other guys are. But he's a big, you know, Devontae Adams didn't run a 4.4, you know. Right. So I'll bet you that he gets that number down a little bit. He probably plays faster than 4.7. It's going to hurt him, but I also think he's a big, big receiver. What does he weigh?
He's 6'1", 202.
I thought so he was bigger than that.
Yeah, he was listed bigger than that at Wisconsin. Yeah. I think they gave him an inch and 10 pounds.
Yeah, 23-inch bench press. That's really good.
That was tops of the class.
That was tops. So that's you get the kind of idea of what type of receiver
kind of a strong,
he is. Inside guy who's going to be able to run slants for you, but not a guy who's going to win vertically.
Yeah, so it you know, the reason I brought him up specifically, A, there's some local interest there, but B, it kind of shows where, you know, a guy like this who – he's going to be available later,
yeah.
Because it is so top heavy,
yeah.
You know, and that type of thing.
I do think it's tantalizing when you see, if you call up the receivers and their 40 times, you look at guys like Justin Jefferson, for instance, who is just a catching machine. Played with Joe Burrow, and I think he had 111 receptions and like 18 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But there was some concerns about how he'd run, and he runs a 4.4, I believe. Right. And
4.43.
4.43. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, maybe they need to reconsider. And Denzel Mims is another guy who, big, you know, big guy, and he runs a 4.38, right? 6.3.
Yeah. And it was, what's funny about that, Tom, is as we kind of talk a little bit about these prospects, is Goody kind of doubled down on his body type. He said, no, I like the big guys still.
Yeah,
and he's like, obviously, we want to find some big guys who can run and move. And so you start to see, put it this way, I don't know if you're going to get the 5'9 slot guy that people seem to feel they, they need. I think he'd rather find the 6'3 slot.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have some interest in Jalen Reagor, who's a smaller guy.
Yeah.
He did not run like people thought he would. I think he was almost at 4.5 something. He was expected to be in low 4.4s.
Yeah, 4.47.
4.47. But he also put on like 10 pounds. He's a big, strong – he's like Randall Cobb on steroids.
Yeah.
He's big physical guy, good run after the catch. He would be a nice – I imagine he would be a nice guy in that offense, that there's multiple things he can do. He did a lot of jet sweep kind of stuff, I believe, at TCU. And so my guess is he'll start dropping some weight because he wants to run better at his pro day. Anyway – that's the type of guy they could wind up with.
Right.
There's just so many different types. Guys tall and thin, guys just with production, guys who, you know, that Henry Ruggs ran a 4.27, nearly beat your guy, John Ross.
Yeah.
So a lot to choose from. And these are just the top guys.
Right.
We're not talking about even the guys who are – down the list.
Yeah, who may be there in the third round.
Yeah, the Devontae Adams type guys who maybe aren't quite jumping off the charts like these guys, but have maybe a bigger ceiling.
Right. So you mentioned, obviously, perhaps addressing tackle, D-tackle. Tight ends, interesting, Tom's. Mercedes Lewis, Jimmy Graham are free agents. Robert Tonyan, you reported, had a core muscle surgery this offseason. He's got a long window of recovery coming, and I mean, you want the kid to be healthy. He's a nice guy, but I don't know how much longer you can wait for whatever you think he is. I mean, that position could be in need of an overhaul. depending what they do with those veterans. They do like Jay Sternberger. You know, the Austin Hooper thing is sort of floating out there. Is that a spot where that's a drafting spot, you know, where it's a second round or maybe a first round? They didn't do it last year with Hockenson. Mm-hmm. Or is that where, as you talked about earlier, kind of piecemealing some free agent stuff, that's kind of where you can fit that in?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a piecemeal thing. Okay. I think because the receiver class is so good, they're going to probably do multiple picks there. Okay. And rely on Sternberger, some combination of Sternberger. I think Tanyan, they need to see healthy. I think he was actually off to a pretty good start last year, and that he was starting to come around. He had 2 20-plus catches in the first four games, and then that Dallas game, he looked like he was ready for a decent game, and then, you know, he got hurt and was never the same. So I don't know if, you know, really they could conceivably come back with Tanyan, Sternberger, Mercedes Lewis, and a prospect, you know, a guy they draft somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what round, middle round maybe. I think they'd be okay as long as they're working on that receiver position.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The Austin, what's funny, the reason I bring up Austin Hooper is because people, you know, it's so funny, Tom. There's like a foregone conclusion. Oh, the Packers will just get it. Well, there's other people. There's other teams.
Yeah, and there's money involved. You know, there's like you can't just spend on every single guy. And the thing you can't also know is what does Brian Gutekunst think of him?
Right.
That's a key element to all of this. He might think Austin Hooper's no good.
Right.
And if he does, then, you know, they're not going to sign him. So that's an element that you have to think about.
Yeah, for sure. So it is, you know, I guess I do want to hit this because the general manager talked about it quite a bit Sunday. The head coach talked about it. Well, the NFL Network is really, really hoping and praying that you watch some of that stuff at primetime. That's the whole reason they're doing this, that they might move this to Los Angeles as soon as next year. But anyway, they showed Matt LaFleur watching the quarterbacks. Brian Gutekunst maintains he's ready and willing to draft a quarterback at 30 because that's what you do. To me, Tom, actions always speak louder than words, and we have yet to see such a thing, at least with his short tenure. At 30, I'm not going to ask you to go into names here because who knows? Quarterbacks are crazy. We could see five go in the top 12, and it doesn't matter, right? But that idea of the fact that the head coach, now in his second year, and the third-year general manager are vocalizing this and really emphasizing to people that they're not afraid, that they feel it's important, that they would do it. Does it mean anything? Is it just...
Yeah, it means something.
Yeah.
It means they're preparing the public for the fact that they know Aaron Rodgers isn't going to last forever, and that at some point they got to address the position. And I think that is what we're seeing, is them preparing everybody that don't be shocked if we take a quarterback. I don't know that it's going to be in the first round. You know, Gutekunst said that they scout everybody the same. So they're scouting Joe Burrow just the same way they are James Morgan, you know, the kid from Green Bay. So I think you have to prepare yourself if, you know, one of those Aaron Rodgers scenarios happens where like a Jordan Love drops down or Herbert drops all of a sudden and he's sitting there and he's way above everybody else on your board. What do you do? Well, maybe you just go ahead and take him. So I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah, it's that could make it for an interesting Thursday night or Friday night in Green Bay. But until then, obviously, a bunch of speculation. Not sure. Real quick, some other interesting nuggets from Brian Gutekunst. Kind of throwaway lines of he'd be willing to trade up. And like way up in the first round if he thought that was the case. Obviously, we saw him do it to a minor degree with Darnell Savage Jr. And it's kind of interesting, Tom, now that they have spent that money in free agency, like the Packers are kind of a buzzy team among some agents. You know, like, what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. Do they have money? I don't know if those were questions you heard much about as recently as 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, no, you never heard about that. You always just talk to the agents and, who are your free agents? Well, nobody Green Bay wants to sign.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, or nobody that Ted's going to sign. So it is a little bit different. I just think they're limited.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give you an example. A guy you covered, Joe Schobert, is probably a Wisconsin kid who's probably the top linebacker in the free agent market. And he's going to get well over $10 million a year. Packers just, I don't think they'll spend that. He's going to be a top-tier paid guy, and I don't think they're in the market for that type of guy right now. I think they could do 3 mid-range type guys. I think they'll be quiet on the first week of free agency.
Yeah.
That's my gut feeling.
Yeah, I think I mentioned way back in the podcast, I said Alec Ogletree. I think he played for the Rams. I think Corey Littleton.
You were thinking of Ogletree just got cut by the Giants. Yeah.
but
Littleton, yeah. Guy who's come along really well after being just a special teams player.
And, you know, it adds a little different element to at least our readership and the Packers fan base that they can get excited about such guys, you know, or the prospect of it.
Think about it. Yeah. I still think the Packers' future is right here in this building. It's going to be this draft class. Really, he's got 10 shots again and probably will never have as good a shot for multiple wide receivers in a long time. It'll be a long time before he does, and this is the year to do it.
Yeah. Well, we, you know, a lot going on this week in Indianapolis. You know, the owners' meetings in late March. Probably, you know, if you're Mark Murphy, if you're some players, you want a new CBA before then. Free agency is March 16th. You know, kind of that legal tampering period. So unless some really earth-shaking things happen, you know, that's probably the week we'll talk to you guys next.
Well, yeah, I would say we'll do something after free
agency. Yeah.
Early after free agency, just to, you know, get you up on what happened, some of the behind-the-scenes things that we can address then.
So. Yeah, so until then, make sure to subscribe. Download the PackersNews.com app. Make sure your notifications are on because you want Tom to buzz your pocket at all hours with breaking Packers news. Make sure you head over there as well to watch all the videos from Olivia Reiner. If you want to see all of the Wisconsin prospects, all of the Wisconsin Badgers prospects, Wisconsin natives as well. All of those videos and interviews are up there at PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com as well. So we're in it. It's 2020.
Yep.
And for Tom, I am Jim. We'll talk to you soon.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.